It's always good to visit. It's always good to visit the in-laws, though. Yeah. At least that side of the family. Amen. I've been blessed with great in-laws. Not many can say that. But I really have. So it's always wonderful to get to go visit them. It's great to go visit the church that you were baptized in. You get to go see how it's doing. And they are doing well. They're doing well. But we did miss you guys. Just somehow feels like forever since we've been here. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 20, verse 15 and 16. And the scripture states, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many will be called, but few chosen." Amen. So we're getting into a parable, because Jesus loves to teach parables. We're getting into the parable of laborers. And he starts to talk about a vineyard. And how he starts to hire laborers to work his vineyard. That the kingdom of heaven is like this. And as you go through this, I remember reading it my first time, and the people were upset. And I was kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. I'd be a little upset too. Definitely not a great business model if you want to work the second day. But then the Lord rebukes them. And that's kind of where I had to hit the brakes the first time I read it. I'm like, wait a minute. They said something. I agreed with it. God did not. That's probably not good. So as I started to dive into this and look at this parable, as I was studying, I want to address some misconceptions I had the first time I read it. I know that when we're typically talking about laborers, we're always going to put the emphasis on the need for laborers. There is a need for laborers. There is no shortage of work for the kingdom. There's just not. But as I went through this parable the first time, and it wasn't, you know, this time, I came to the same conclusion that these men did. But eventually, I started coming to the conclusion that God did. And I understood where I was misperceiving what was wrong. And the first thing is that these men are upset that a person who only worked 1 hour got the same wage. And God, the master of the vineyard in this parable, tells them, "Do you think I can't do with what is mine as I please?" And that level of sovereignty of God, it's easy to nod our head to. It is. Like, yeah. But when confronted with it, when you feel wronged by the sovereignty, now we're on a different subject altogether. Because not only is he sitting here, he's like, my pay is mine to do with as I wish. I can give out of my treasure as I want. And what I told you you would get, you got. But then, as I started to delve deeper, I saw some problems. The very first is this, that the murmuring began when they received their reward. See, there's murmuring that happens in your wilderness. There's a whole different level of murmuring that can happen in your promise. This is what you will get. This is what you're going to receive. And then all of a sudden, they're murmuring. Just like the ones in the wilderness, they're murmuring. Murmuring that you don't have, and now murmuring that you do have. Now, if I were to examine myself and be transparent, murmuring's really easy to do. It's easy to grumble. Things aren't going well. Things aren't this. But then, it's a lie to think that my murmuring would stop simply because God gave me what he said he would. Because that'll trigger a whole different level of murmuring. This is, my murmuring is not a situational issue. As Sister Abbott would say, it's a heart issue. This is unthankfulness. This is ungrateful. This is entitlement. I'm owed. And here's the thing. If I do everything in this kingdom for what I believe I will get, I am setting myself up for an attack of offense from the enemy to think that I'm better than the rest of you. I really am. You're about ready to be upset, Mitchell. You're about ready to be upset. Because something I read that I find astounding is I understand we talk about the harvest, but in this, it's not specific to the harvest per se. When he hires laborers, you don't know what he hired them for. He hired them to work the vineyard. Now it might be harvest season. They're gathering the grapes. But in Isaiah 5, when he talks about his vineyard in verse 1 and 2, he says, my well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it. He gathered stones there out, planted it. He built a tower in the midst. He made a wine press. So there's these things that are in the vineyard that all require laborers. And so some are going to be used greatly for gathering grapes. And I can look around and be like, why aren't you gathering? Not realizing that God decided to put you on the watchtower. To where most of your time is looking out, crying out that there's predators. That there's people who are constantly helping get the stones out. That there are people who are helping tend the harvest by pressing it into the new wine. There is all this stuff. There's tending the vine. We're pruning. Some might be sowing. You never know. We're making a mistake to think that we know what the hire was hired for. Just as in the body, not everybody is going to be the eye, the word says. But that doesn't mean I can look at you and say, because you're not doing what I'm doing, you're not called to do what I'm called to do, I don't need you. Because our differences are actually going to be why we need each other. I'm going to need you to do what I do not, and vice versa. So this laborer situation, the grumbling, you're grumbling, and you only probably did maybe one job. And you don't know what the labor was of anybody else. That's kind of foolish, as the Bible would put it. Try and use biblical language. Foolish. That within the body, we are hired to do a job. We are hired and we are commissioned. We are brought in to tend what is His. One of the mistakes that I see from the very beginning is this. Is as it was go get the laborers, it says that he found them on the third hour. This is where it shows up. And the sixth and the ninth. And he went out about the third hour and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Now that means doing nothing. They're doing nothing. They're just standing around. Now this word idle can also be translated lazy. They're doing nothing. And yet, because they were available, they were able to be put to work in the master's vineyard. Which made me realize that busyness can become one of my greatest enemies to doing God's work. My lack of availability can be one of the things that stops me from ever stepping foot in the vineyard. Because when it was time for the marriage supper, what'd they tell him? Well, I'm busy. Essentially, I got a new wife. Well, I just planted this. I just got new ox. I got stuff to do. I'm busy. I can't come to a wedding. And if you're going to use busyness as an excuse to not come to a wedding, you're going to use busyness to not show up and do work. I got my own work to do. I got a lot on my plate. I mean, it's not like we haven't seen the effects of busyness in our own lives. This could kill us. But the thing I see that is astounding is it says they were standing. Because if you don't have the strength to stand, you don't have the strength to work. Paul would write, having done all to stand, stand. You got to be able to stand. If you can't, that's okay. But don't pretend like you don't see it. Ask God, Lord, I'm having a hard time standing for you, strengthen me. Strengthen me. Please. Help me stand. There is no shame in asking God for help. Like, I don't know where this Christian doctrine came in. Where we admit, I can't save myself, but now I want God as little as possible. Let me do it myself. Well, this whole relationship started with the admitting you can't do it yourself. Why do you think it continues in any other facet of truth? None of this is going to be done by us. Everything's by His Spirit. That water is not special. It's just water. But when you have a God that's willing to sacrifice Himself and attach His name, all of a sudden what God did is special. I've been wet many a times in my life, but the name getting called over me as I go into that water, that's something altogether different. It's not so much, oh, well, I got wet. No. You got the blood applied. And that's everything. You got the name applied. That's everything. That's the fulfillment of the Old Testament covenant. Right, right. Abraham put his blood in the cup. God showed up in flesh to put his blood now. It's a completed covenant. This is why it's amazing to me that as they're going through, the labor never ceases. It's arrogant of me to think that I could get so spiritual that God doesn't need anybody else to help. See, the first hires weren't enough. Go get more. And they hired more on the third hour, and it wasn't enough. Go get more. They hired them on the sixth hour. Wasn't enough. Go get more. Church, the only one in this house that will ever be enough is Jesus. And I don't say that with any malice. I am not putting you down. I'm not putting me down. We are not the Almighty. I will not be enough for His work by myself. I will not be enough for my own family. I will not be enough for my own walk. It is a good thing to have more laborers show up. It is. And yet, the attitude begins to sit here and twist itself into something that is just disgusting, to say the least. Because the first came after everyone else was paid. I want you to notice in verse 10, it says, and when the first came, it wasn't the third hire, the sixth hour hire, the ninth hour hire that decided to murmur. It was the first. Because they're the ones that felt they were better than everyone else and was entitled to more. I've been here longest. Let me tell you something. It is a serious red flag. If what you want to throw down as your spiritual walk is amount of time. Well, I've been in this 20 years. Great. Let me help burst your bubble right now. Time does not impress an eternal God. Faithfulness does. Absolutely. Dedication, holiness, yes. But if you want to slap down years like a God that has more years than you can even fathom, somehow has got him go, wow. I'm sorry. If we were to slap all our years together, it is not going to impress him. But what we did with him during those years, that matters. But people who are caught up on time, and that being the first thing they're going to put down, typically that's the only claim they have. I was here first. Now, logically, I understand that. I do. I've been working all day. This person worked 1 hour. How are these two equal? But that's man's logic. What about what the Bible says? Does it not say in Amos 9:13, "Behold, the days come that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes him that soweth seed"? Does it not say that there will come a season, there will come a point in time where the labor becomes so intense that they're, "Get out of my way, get out of my way, get out of my way"? We're trying to do it as fast as we possibly can, because it has become so abundant in the work as this thing is wrapping up. Who's to say that the 11th hour person doesn't put in more labor than the previous hours combined? That I've been there since the beginning, but all of a sudden, once this hour hit, boy, the labor just took on a whole new level. Because church, when we cross into the promise, and it's this harvest that God has been prophesying to come, we're not ready for those numbers. Many great men and women have been telling people God is going to be using the stadiums to bring them in. I'm thankful for this. But we need bigger. If you want to get a hold of God's vision, think Cowboy Stadium, and that's just for one sermon. That doesn't hold the entirety. That holds one sheave. Bring in the next, let's process it. Bring in the next, let's process it. Swamped by the harvest. It says that they're sowing and it's springing up so fast. It's almost instantaneous. This is a wild level of labor. And yet, they're going to say, "Well, I've been here and I had to endure the heat." Okay, yes. Yes, you did. 11th hour typically does not endure the heat. But why are you dismissing that person from having to endure the encroaching darkness of the hour? We are getting to a point in that 11th hour that the light is fading. The darkness is starting to overtake the land. In John 9, it says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." So, I had to endure the heat. And yet, the darkness starts to exert itself over the vineyard. We're wrapping this thing up. And if you don't think that darkness is going to give access to the predators that come out when it's night, You don't think that the watchman on that tower is going to have his hands full with what is creeping around the perimeter during the 11th hour? You don't think that the person that is walking around the hedge to make sure it's up is going to find that it is constantly being under attack? You don't think that those things that need sunshine are starting to wither and we're having to constantly give focus with the light that's within us? And somehow, you think that this person hasn't worked. They come and, well, I've been here. So what? I'm glad. Because that word first means chief or preeminent. And there are, I've heard it listening across this UPCI. Well, my granddaddy's granddaddy goes all the way back to Azusa. That's great. I'm happy for you. But I don't like the attitude that you're putting it down as if it's a resume qualification as to why you should have more access than the rest of us. I am the first in my family to come in. I'm first. Everybody at some point has to be the first. And at some point, I would want my kids to be proud that their dad came to Christ. But I will be so disappointed if you look at a newcomer and say, well, my dad was in this. Like, stop. How dare you? How dare you throw out time and lineage as if you deserve more? And here's something that shocks me. Shocks me. Is why is it that the one who has spent the most time in the master's field, in the master's vineyard, seems to not have gotten a hold of his heart? Why is it that the one who has spent the most time laboring is the one that is the most judgmental? Could it be out of your own mouth? We endured the heat. Well, maybe your roots started to wither. Because heat, it's not fun. There are times where you get into quote unquote dry seasons. That is digging time. That is not a season of let's just wait this out. It is dig for deeper water. If you wait it out, you risk withering under the heat. And if you don't dig, the faith you had will not be the faith that comes out. This dry seasons are God trying to strengthen and deepen my roots in Him. But here they are. And they give this statement. You dare make them equal with us? Why, yes. Why, yes. Because this is the heart of the elder brother and the prodigal son. I've been here working. You dare give him something that I didn't even get? The one who never supposedly left the Father has no comprehension of him. Has thought that my labor has entitled me above everybody else. And yet, when I read about him hiring laborers, I read no qualifications other than they're willing to go work. How is it that you show up with no discernible skills because somebody would have hired you if you had them? And God starts to equip you. And then you turn around and go, well, how dare you think you're equal to me? But that's the problem. Time is not the qualifier there, young man. The fact that your brother is a son is. See, that's the beauty of this salvation, is that the moment you're born again, you are equal. I don't care if it's been one day and I've got 50 plus years, which I don't. I got a decade, which is great, because it's taken some endurance. It's taken some holding on to make it that far. But that's so that I can encourage you and let you know it's going to take some endurance on your part. It's going to take some faith, because the enemy is going to try and make sure you don't have 10 years. And you're going to attack an 11th hour saint who hasn't had the benefit of building up their faith to endure this hour. That's crazy. That's crazy to me that we could do this. All the while, I'm looking, going, well, I must be getting it all. And here's the scary part, is I've only been to one conference. One. And when I walked in, I saw a distinction. Oh, well, we're all God's children, but these seats are special. These are reserved seats. And these are the super reserved seats. These are chief seats. These are super chief seats. And up here, these are the special, special seats. And I'm just happy to be in the nosebleed. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm here. I have flown too far for you to affect my attitude. And see, that's the thing. Sometimes God takes you on a journey so that others won't discourage you. I have come too far to be discouraged by what you're doing. But here's what's scary to me about this, is that it says, but many that are first shall be last. Matthew 19:20. And the last shall be first. Many. Many, not some, not few, many who thought they were chief, who were so accustomed to being the greatest down here in the vineyard, are going to walk up and they're going to sit down in where they would have normally sat. And the parable says, God walks up and says, what are you doing sitting in that seat? Well, this is about the row I always sit. And he says, uh-uh. To the back. And you'll find people who nobody knew their name, and they're so accustomed to just sitting in the back and just happy to be there. And God will walk up to them and be like, why are you back here? No, 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 no. Get up. That's his seat. He was in yours. It doesn't matter what God calls us. The fivefold is here for the body. It doesn't matter how elevated we may get in our ministries. It's not our harvest. It's His. And then the next chapter, they talk about the laborers, where he hires the laborers, and then he comes, where's my harvest? And they run out the messenger, because somehow they thought that their work entitled them to everything the vineyard was producing. That's mine. It's not. It's not. Those aren't even my children. They are my children, but more importantly, they're His children. I don't get to somehow exert myself and say, no, you don't get them. That's not how this works. And more so, He says, shall I not do with what is mine? Do I not know that I was bought at a price? And I am not my own. There are certain understandings I must have to be a laborer. That the harvest and the labor is so necessary, especially as we believe it's coming to the end, the labor and the harvest becomes even more increasing of the need of laborers. And so God's going to equip the church to do the labor that is His. With an increase of the harvest, there will be an increase of help. You will see God do what the church has only been holding its breath to see in this 11th hour. But if I feel like my labor has somehow made me better than you, I've missed the point why I'm hired in the first place. If somehow I'm doing everything so that I can get more, and all I care about is where I'm seated in heaven, I missed the point of why I was hired. We're here to help each other go. We're here to help them go. Because I don't care if you're walking. There are things that can stumble you, that can trip you. And if a man falls in a ditch, help them. Help them. Help them back up. Help them keep walking. That's the whole point. They're not walking. Help them start. When they stumble and they mess up, and they will, help them get back up. Keep going forward. The entire point is so that God can get what the vineyard was supposed to produce. Not so that I can stand at the end and be like, hey, Jordan, how many hours did you pray, bud? I'm just going to simply ask, did you pray? Are you in the line of laborers? I've learned from Billy Cole, listening to him, hey, time doesn't really matter that much. Brother Hernandez said he'd have to pray 6 hours to get into a dimension. It only took Billy Cole 15 minutes. Well, I would like the 15-minute walk, please. I will gladly spend 6 hours, but I'd love for it only to be there 15 minutes to get to that dimension, and then I can, I'll spend 6 hours with you. And I would gladly, if I could, come on up. But church, as they sat there and they thought to themselves that I'm somehow greater, they missed the point, that the point was the Master was merciful and hired you to begin with. I mean, who are we that we should be here? I'm not any better than any person that's out there. Not of myself. And in fact, some of the people out there are better of themselves than I was. They didn't do the things I did. I am a worse version of the world. And that's okay. That's okay because the version God's making me into, I don't get to take credit for. Right. part of the thing is that being in the vineyard, I'm now in the place where he plants things. I'm now in the place where the nutrition of that soil is. Isaiah calls it a fruitful hill. And he tells each and every person, be fruitful. We're supposed to produce fruit. And so by entering into the labor, I enter into the soil that is going to help me be fruitful. If I sit outside of the vineyard and I don't want to do any work, well, I hope that you can produce fruit. But I know myself well enough that I need as much help as possible to produce anything. I need people help get some stones out. I need some people be like, that's a weed. Those are some thorns. Let's get that out. It is a blessing that God would open up what is going to be beneficial to me as well. And then turn around and think that this was only about me. The whole point of the laborers is the reason we're sitting here is somebody was harvested. Even if you were born into this, somebody harvested your family. Somebody brought them in. Somebody loved on them. Somebody encouraged them. There was a labor. And why? Because you were always meant for God. You were always His. Just as they are. We may not know them. He does. And so while he's sitting here, there's always the cry of whom shall I send? Is there any laborers among us? And church, let us remember that the reward is great. It's him, and we all get it. There's no greater reward than that. And I want to see Sterling, I want to see Alaska. I want to see the world be empty. I know that can't happen because the Bible says there'll still be people. But oh goodness, let's get as many as we can to where the devil has to walk a while to find another person. Amen? All right. Well, greet one another. Get ready. We are going to worship the Lord of the harvest. Amen.